communist corporations, elitist politicians, and reckless scientists have contributed to creating a phony crisis.
The BBC is now so politicized, so utterly the creature of the communistic bureaucratic class that now runs the whole of Europe.
Global carbon dictatorship.
This bill is green on the outside, the thinnest green on the outside, and inside it's deep communist red. And, you know, Gorbachev actually runs an environmental group now. I don't know if everyone knows that, but...
Because it is going to be raining, I know. You better come on into my kitchen. Because it is going to be raining outdoors.
Millions of gallons of water pouring through the Swat Valley, a force of nature with no respect for the route it takes or the millions of people it's affecting. This is the principal town of Mingora Innswat. Streets and roads submerged, houses hidden beneath tons of muddy water, here flowing over the roof of one. People can only look on helplessly from the town's main bridge, but even this is under threat of collapse. Local residents unable to protect their homes as they slide helplessly into the river Swat. As the waters recede for a short time, the extent of the damage is becoming more evident. Mingora's main bridge, where people were viewing the river, soon collapsed after we filmed there. The main communication link to both sides of the town and beyond severed. These children swim across determined to get to the other side. It's a problem the local police have too, as they recover their weapons from the flooded police station, their vehicles inoperable, smashed by the weight of water.
I got a note today from our official climatologist, Dr. Roy Spencer. He sent me something from his blog.
In a recent interview, Dr. Spencer recalled the series of errors that led him to be, at one time, a major proponent of the global cooling canard.
In recent years, we've seen very, very low sunspot activity, and we're definitely, in my mind, not only in a cooling period, we're going to be staying in it for a couple decades.
You have the world at your fingertips.
See what you've done to the rain and the sun. So many changes have all just begun to reap. I know you're asleep. Wake.
We're taking a look at river levels in southeast Iowa. Now, there is still moderate flooding along the Des Moines River near Keosauqua. There is still major flooding near St. Francisville. The Skunk River is expected to rise over the next few days, inching closer to the major flood stage near Augusta. Ames, Iowa has been hit hard by flooding. Folks there are waiting for the water to recede so they can begin the cleanup effort. Don Teague is in Ames and says the residents may be without drinking water for several days.
Nature's waiting, you something's wrong. It's nature's waiting, you in a song. It's nature's way of receiving you. It's nature's way of retrieving you. It's nature's way of telling you something's wrong.
Up and down the Northeast, as the holiday weekend winds down, the heat wave of 2010 picks up.
I'm evaporating. Yeah, I'm melting.
From Washington.
It is hot, and it's going to get hotter.
I don't think that anyone disagrees with the fact that we actually are in the middle of a cold period that started about 9 years ago.
We've had 9 years of a global cooling trend since the 1st of January 2001.
Weather experts are calling it the hottest summer in recorded history. Temperatures soaring above 30 Celsius have hit Europe, central and eastern parts of the U.S. and Western Asia.
And this is not anecdotal. This is the scientific temperature research surveys. We are actually cooling.
It's not just Greece that's being affected by this heat wave. Temperatures in other parts of Europe are topping 40 degrees Celsius. In Russia, they're experiencing their worst drought in a century. 25 million acres of crops have been ruined.
Dennis Avery of the Hudson Institute joins those predicting the next 20 to 30 years will actually bring cooler temperatures.
The Earth's temperatures have dropped an average of 6/10 of a degree Celsius in the last 2 years.
Numbers don't lie, and they add up to the warmest spring planet Earth has ever recorded. And as Mike Drolet reports, it follows what were the hottest winter months, too.
That it's hot in mid-July isn't much of a surprise. That it got so hot so early in the year is. In fact, last month was the hottest June ever recorded worldwide, 16.2 degrees, almost a degree hotter than normal. And June wasn't an anomaly. The year-to-date temperature of 14.2 degrees is a record, putting 2010 on pace to becoming the hottest year ever. The evidence is overwhelming. Around the world, where it's normally cool, it's now hot, scorching hot. Europe, from Hungary to Austria, Italy and Russia, is experiencing a terrible heat wave.
In the looking glass world of climate deniers, down is up, black is white, and hot is cold.
The global temperatures by NOAA are seven of the eight warmest years on record have occurred since 2001. The 10 warmest years have all occurred since 1995. So let me start, if I may, Joseph DeLeo, your reaction to those numbers. Do you quibble with what they represent?
Yes, I do. In fact, if you look at the satellite data, which is the most reliable data, the best coverage of the globe.
For climate deniers, satellite temperatures are considered the holy grail, not subject to the manipulation of evil scientists who ignore the effects of urbanization and are all in on a sinister global conspiracy.
And Lou, you know, your people in your studio know that if they live in the suburbs of New York City, it's a lot colder in rural areas than it is in the city. So now we have more urban effect in those numbers. Reflecting that show up in that enhanced or exaggerated warming in the global data set.
Satellites are fantastic tools, and a fleet of Earth observation satellites give us a richly detailed view of planetary processes. But they're only as good as the men that manage them, the late Stephen Schneider explained in a recent lecture.
We've had surface thermometers which for 150 years have shown what IPCC has called an unequivocal warming trend. And it was challenged for 20 years by people using satellite measurements of the radiance of microwaves from oxygen atoms. And that was supposed to give you a global picture that eliminated some of the thermometer problems like cities warming up and that, you know, pollutes the record.
Now this is the important one. This is what gives us temperature. This is a microwave sounding unit, which kind of acts like a microwave oven but in reverse. Instead of emitting microwaves, it receives and records microwaves. And depending on the amount of microwave radiation it receives, that gives us an idea about temperature.
So, let's use the satellite. That gives you the bird's eye picture. The problem is that these microwaves are emitted not just from the oxygen atoms as in proportion to their temperature, but from the surface, from thick clouds at different elevations. It's a heroic effort to build a model to reconstruct how to interpret that satellite measured stuff. There is no satellite thermometer. There's a satellite model.
One of the most important satellite databases is managed at the University of Alabama at Huntsville, or UAH. A key leader in the UAH team is Dr. John Christie. Dr. Christie is one of a tiny percentage of working climate scientists who does not believe climate change is a serious problem.
I am writing the American Meteorological Society's report on upper air temperatures.
I have 7 data sets in there. Turns out they're all very, very close together. So the planet is warming about 0.14 degrees C per decade right now.
Okay.
Dr. Christie's colleague is Dr. Roy Spencer. Formerly of NASA, Dr. Spencer is now a senior researcher at UAH and has found another higher calling as well.
I got a note today from our official climatologist, Dr. Roy Spencer. He sent me something from his blog.
In a recent interview, Dr. Spencer recalled the series of errors that led him to be, at one time, a major proponent of the global cooling canard.
I think when we made that correction, if I'm remembering correctly, I think we went from a cooling trend to a slight warming trend. And then ever since then, it's been a warming trend, actually by sort of ever-increasing amounts.
Dr. Spencer's blog provides a very useful portal to the most recent satellite readings, which do not support the idea of global cooling. Several recent months have been the warmest in the satellite record, and the overall upward trend is easily discernible, even to the untrained eye. Climate is not weather, and trends are measured not in months or years, but decades. In every major temperature database, each of the last 3 decades has been warmer than the one preceding. Climate deniers like to cherry-pick a short period in a longer record to make their claims, while ignoring the obvious long-term profile. In the NASA graph for the last 20 years, 2005 is the hottest year, with 1998, 2007, and 2009 tied for close second. Climate deniers chronically point out that 1998 was warmer than this or that year in an attempt to obscure the overall trend. Cyclical processes for global temperature is the Pacific warming oscillation known as El Niño, and its opposite number, cooling, La Niña. In our graph, we can factor in the warming push that El Niño gives, and the dampening effect in the La Niña years. 1998 was boosted by an enormous El Niño event, and the record reflects warmings in each subsequent El Niño year, including 2010. You may be wondering what happened in the early 90s when a sizable El Niño coincided with a temporary cool spell. 1991 saw the largest volcanic eruption since 1912, Mount Pinatubo, which ejected enough reflective particles into the atmosphere to cool the planet for several years. There's another force that deniers say climate scientists deliberately ignore. To hear more about that, click below to go to part 2.
It's nature's weak dead.
Humans are far too small to have any effect on the climate. The answer, they say, lies with a much greater power.
In recent years, we've seen very, very low sunspot activity, and we're definitely, in my mind, not only in a cooling period, we're going to be staying in it for a couple decades.
Here is an important story. Deep solar minimum, and says the sunspot cycle 1995 to present. And if you go up to NASA's website, for some reason our one on Infowars.com, we posted this, but it links to the wrong thing. It links to a Bilderberg story, so we need to get that fixed. Deep solar minimum. Now, you can see the 12-year sun cycle. And the highest sun cycle on record was right here. You can click on it and look at the graph going back for over 60 years with scientific, very high-tech scientific instruments. Now this is in 2001, the super peak, global warming throughout the solar system. And then over here, you can see where we currently are, down there in the dip, 2009. And if you see that, there is almost no solar activity. Look at the last dip in the cycle in 1997. Look how much higher sun activity was at the last low point. I mean, this is a record low point. The sun is putting off no solar flares right now. They appear as sunspots to the naked eye, giant Coriolis ejections, you know, hundreds of times the size of the planet Earth that shoot out. They disrupt satellites, all sorts of things.
In this case, the claim is correct. The current solar cycle is at the lowest minimum in the last century, well documented in scientific literature and verifiable from numerous reliable sources.
NASA satellites measure the sun's energy, which fluctuates due to a 10 to 12 year cycle. Could increased solar activity be causing global warming? Satellite evidence shows us that the solar cycle has only a slight impact on our planet's temperatures. In fact, even though the last few years have been some of the warmest on record, the sun has been in a deep lull in activity. That means slightly less solar energy has been reaching Earth. And when the solar cycle ramps up again, scientists expect temperatures will rise even a little more. The sun has been in a deep lull in activity,
putting 2010 on pace to becoming the hottest year ever.
Satellite evidence and data from the geological record indicate that greenhouse gases have been one of the biggest controls on planetary climate. But only a tiny fraction of climate deniers are actually scientists. The discussion goes beyond the bounds of actual facts and evidence, serving not truth, but a type of right-wing paranoia that we've seen before in the USA.
Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?
They are about to impose a communist world government on the world.
there's no making a deal with these vampires. I mean, this is a greedy... I mean, folks, I'm not trying to demonize them. I've studied them. These are really hellish, horrible control freaks. It's a devil cult, man. They mean business. They want your property, and they want it now. And they are a bunch of eugenicist killers.
Communist corporations, elitist politicians, and reckless scientists have contributed to creating a phony crisis.
The BBC is now so politicized, so utterly the creature of the communistic bureaucratic class that now runs the whole of Europe.
Global carbon dictatorship.
This bill is green on the outside, the thinnest green on the outside, and inside it's deep communist red. And, you know, Gorbachev actually runs an environmental group now. I don't know if everyone knows that, but...
In the end, scientists will continue to track down the facts and speak the truth as best they can. It is up to the citizen to judge the evidence and consider the source.
That's who we're dealing with! They want to kill you and your family!
I've got so much sorrow running around in my heart. For the little home that once was mine. Older but no wiser now and all alone. How I wish the road ahead was the road behind.
We've been headed the wrong way all through time. Living in the wrong place, wrong life. Traveling all the livelong day.
Have you seen the old place anywhere? Have you seen the life that we once led? Older but no wiser now and all alone. How I wish the road behind was the road ahead.
We've been headed the wrong way all through time. Living in the wrong place. Wrong life, traveling all the livelong day, going the wrong way.
There are human races, and I ain't got what they're going to need. No right to pass on this timid seed. You give me one day's ration, blanket and a gun. Like an old Comanche when the wind has begun.
We've been headed the wrong way all through time. Living in the wrong place, wrong life. Traveling on.
Pakistan's devastating floods have killed and wounded thousands, but the World Food Program is worried about farmers' fields. It said Wednesday nearly 700,000 hectares, around 1.7 million acres of crops, are underwater or destroyed. In the country's northwest, in Nowshera district, farmers have been trying to salvage what they can. Dil Aram Khan and his relatives were spreading maize to try and dry it out, but they had a massive task ahead of them. And there were problems not only with crops already planted, but with the seeds for those they wanted to grow next.
This is our wheat. This is our wheat and our position now. All of our wealth is destroyed along with our wheat.
Things weren't looking good for farmer Iltaf Hussein Kakar either. He returned home after the high water had gone to find his house destroyed.
After harvesting, we used to give charity to the poor. And now the situation is that we ourselves are waiting for charity.
The crop devastation already has had an impact on the produce that is available. There may be fruit and vegetables for sale in the market in Peshawar, but in some cases the prices have quadrupled in recent days. And trying to cope with the Muslim fasting holiday of Ramadan won't make life any easier. Looking ahead to the future, Farmers Board President Fayaz Ul Hassan Bhutta said those in the agricultural sector will need help to carry on.
Companies should give the farmers relief on pesticide, seeds and fertilizer. Then there is a chance the farmer might survive.
Even mangoes up in trees have been affected by the floods. Pakistan's been hoping to build infrastructure to boost the crop further as a badly needed export, but high water may have doused those hopes, along with so many others. Karen Sloan, The Associated Press.
Wake up, your mother said. Go tell your brother, get up, get out of bed. Get into the car. Just do as I say. She packed a few things. Then y'all drove away. This was no vacation. It was an evacuation.
In central Iowa, residents are cleaning up and drying out homes, basements, and businesses after 3 days of heavy rain brought record floods.
Well, it seems like we just went through this not very long ago, just a couple years ago. So we thought, I remember cleaning that up and thought, it's not too bad. We won't have to do it for a while, but it seemed like here it is again.
In Des Moines, an overflowing 4 Mile Creek submerged cars and forced hundreds of residents out of their homes. Getting rid of the water and mud will take days.
Man, this is terrible, man. Look at the cars. This is terrible.
As the cleanup continues, friends are remembering a teenager killed when 3 cars were swept off a Des Moines road. The Skunk River in Colfax crested Wednesday at a record 22.5 feet. It could be a week before residents can get back to their homes. In most of Iowa, the floodwaters have receded, but the mess in cities like Ames remains. Crews are still pumping water out of Iowa State University's Hilton Coliseum. Water had poured into the arena 8 feet deep when a nearby creek overflowed.
Hi there, would you like some water?
Yes, I would.
Meanwhile, drinking water is in short supply in Ames, where 8 broken water mains brought on by the flooding have drained the city's water towers.
We're not in a casual, let's just conserve. We are in an emergency.
Evacuation grounds.
And your mother's face, it showed no trace of the tears she cried. They were all erased. Don't you ever doubt. Don't you ever doubt. It's no need to scream or shout. That's not what this is all about. Don't you ever doubt. There's more than one way out. Evacuation.